97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans and Scotty coming up here in a bit. We'll chat with Jordan Schultz, insider analyst for ESPN, hosts a podcast with CJ McCollum, does some great work also on ESPN2 as well. So we'll chat with him coming up here in just a moment, get some thoughts from Jordan Schultz. He's been a part of this radio station for a long, long time. Good dude. And I look forward to catching up with him here in just a moment. Jazz in action tonight, taking on the Portland Trail Blazers and CJ McCollum. Game tonight starts at 7:30, 6:30 pregame show here on the Zone Sports Network. So be careful. Don't show up at the arena thinking it's a 7 o'clock start. You got yourself an extra half hour to get there. So give yourself plenty of time and enjoy what should be a pretty good game tonight. All right, joining us now, insider analyst for ESPN, good friend of ours, Jordan Schultz, kind enough to join us. Jordan, how are you?
Hey, Jordan.
How you doing?
Good. Good to catch up with you again. Should be a fun one tonight. I know that you have the podcast with CJ McCollum, but Jazz and Blazers a lot on the line for both these teams tonight.
Especially Portland. I know it's been, I know Utah's trying to hold on to that, too, but Portland is a lot of pressure for them, you know, and they've been playing some pretty good ball. I think the thing about the Blazers that we've seen all year has been, you know, a health or lack thereof, but the fact that they have, if you're a Portland fan, and, you know, there's a lot of them in the Pacific Northwest. That trio of Dame, CJ, and Norman Powell is very explosive. Nurkic is back, and they really have – they feel like they have a shot now to make their push. And I'm excited about how they've defended. There's been a lot of pressure on Terry Stotts and a lot of rumors swirling around that he might be let go. And, you know, I love Terry. I hope it lasts, but nobody wants to play these really high-octane offenses in the first round. So Portland is one of those teams, you know, in the East, if you look at, you know, who's dangerous, maybe it's in Miami. But these teams that can really score and have the experience are always dangerous.
You bring up a really good point, and I didn't even put this together, but Portland is not out of the worry zone of dropping into the seven and being a part of that play-in, right? I mean, they're just a game in front of Los Angeles, and I think the Lakers have the tiebreaker on them. Is that right?
Yeah, they do. And you know, nobody wants to be in the play-in. I mean, the worst case scenario for the Lakers is to be there. But Portland, you know, they would love to get that six. I mean, that's been the goal, I think, the last couple months, and they floated around it. They're right there. And I mentioned Miami, too, in the East, and they've kind of been in that same boat where they've been a little Jekyll and Hyde, but they have an opportunity to be at the six and avoid the play-in, which is just, you know, this it's going to be great for the league, and I'm excited as an NBA fan, but if I'm a fan of Portland or one of these teams battling for that spot, I really don't want to deal with it.
Jordan Schultz, kind enough to join us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. If you're the Utah Jazz, who would you rather play in the first round if you had to choose between the Lakers or the Warriors?
You know, I've gone back and forth with this. Somebody said, I can't remember who it was, but they're like, oh, Utah's had this great year. And then they reward us to play the Lakers. And I thought about it, and at first I thought, okay, yeah, that's true. But then I started thinking about it, and I was like, listen, the Lakers have not been very good the whole season. They really haven't, the second half. And the problem with the Lakers has been they don't really have a lot of offensive creativity. And the fact that they have their two best players, you know, dealing with injuries and a seven-footer coming back from an Achilles, and Davis really hasn't been the same. You know, I've watched a lot of their games, and the problem for him has just been explosiveness, fluidity. He might make shots, but he's turned the ball over, and he's not erasing shots at the rim. And if you're the Lakers, your whole thing all year has been, we'll just put AD at the five and everything else will work out. Well, if he's not 90% and he hasn't been, then it's not going to work. So I'd probably rather play the Lakers, a gimpy Lakers team, than the Warriors, who have caught fire and beaten two of the best teams in the league consecutive games. You know, I just don't want to deal with Steph and Draymond and that team. I just maybe it's just me, but to me, playing the defending champs who really have struggled is a much more appetizing first round matchup.
Hey, Jordan, give me your top five MVP list, and is Rudy Gobert on it?
So I think Jokic has really secured it. He's been unbelievable. I mean, he just has, and the fact that he's been played in, you know, every game and been so consistent, to me, gives him a pretty formidable number one, you know, lock. I think he's going to get it. And I was always about Embiid, you know, but missing that many games is just brutal, especially in a shortened season. So I think it's pretty clearly the top three are Jokic, Embiid, Steph. And then I think you can make a combination of Giannis, Luka, Gobert, and Dame, maybe Kawhi for that final 5 and 6 spot. So I probably wouldn't put Rudy right there. I think if I'm going to make a top five, I think I might put Dame at 5 and Giannis at 4 and exclude Doncic. That's me. I think the fact that you have Jokic winning it, though, is great for the league because you have not had a bona fide center win it since Shaq 20 years ago, 2 decades. So, and he's done it in such a variety of ways, Jokic. So I'm excited for him, and I'm excited for the league to have a center win it.
6th man and defensive player of the year awards. Do you think those land with Jazz players?
First of all, if Jordan Clarkson doesn't get 6th man of the year, I'm done. I'm done. There's not a more deserving player. If you go back in the last 10 years, 15 years, I don't know if you'll find a guy more deserving than Jordan Clarkson. Not only has he done it, but he plays winning basketball. His numbers in the crunch time are phenomenal. And they really rely on him like an all-star. I mean, he's so good. So 100% Clarkson. Defensive player of the year is going to be really, really close. And the backlash, I've asked around, like, what would it take for Rudy not to win it? And let me just give you that sense. Because I think he has my vote, but what would allow him or disallow him to win it is a combination of a little bit of voter fatigue and the fact that, you know, he has struggled in the playoffs. And I said to people, well, that doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. And they say, well, in the voting, in some voters' minds, they go back to him not being able to play in certain playoff games against the Rockets, for example. And I push back and say, that's ridiculous. We're talking about a regular season award with one of the most dominant defensive players of the last couple decades. And that's why he wouldn't win it. I think he ultimately will win it. I'm just giving you the perspective of here's the pushback.
Well, with that conversation, Nikola Jokic and his potential MVP race, let's say it's a 4-5 matchup, Denver and Portland in the first round, and Portland has another early first-round exit or another early postseason exit.
Right.
How does Damian Lillard handle that? How does Portland handle that?
Well, Dame's talked about this. Like, you know, what the fact that they've been in the playoffs every year since he's been there, and they've been in the Western Conference Finals, and you felt like they were breaking through. And then they, you know, they've regressed a little bit. And so I think the first part of that answer is if they were to lose in the first round, there's no question in my mind to what we said earlier that Terry will not be there. I think they've been really patient with him. Neil O'Shea likes him. The whole organization really likes Terry Stotts. But I just don't see him being there if they lose in the first round. If you're talking about from a personnel standpoint, I think this would be the time where they would say, okay, we can't win with the way it's currently constructed. What do we need? And I've said all along, they need another really creative wing. And if you go back to what they were, when they were really successful, went to the conference finals and they had Aminu, and remember they had Ariza, they had these guys that were a lot of these two-way players. Covington's giving them some of that. They need more of that. I'm of the belief, and maybe I am biased, it's possible, but I'm of the belief that when you have that quality of a backcourt, and McCollum and Lillard, that you can win. But I don't think they've given them enough. And I think Dame has kind of said it without saying it, which is to say, I need more. And I if I'm him, the fact that he's now hit the 30, you know, it's like you start to feel that clock ticking. And how do you judge, you know, all-time great players? You judge them by championships. And Lillard has been in this MVP conversation now the last 5 years, but he hasn't been to a finals. There has to be that kind of pressure, and I think that the whole organization does feel it.
Jordan Schultz with us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. I want to go back to another award, Coach of the Year. And with the Knicks now being decent, you know, above average, and where
solid.
They are at market-wise.
I like the word solid.
Yeah. Is that we all kind of think Quinn Snyder should win that award, but is Tom Thibodeau going to do it now because the Knicks aren't a dumpster fire anymore?
If it was an East-West award, it'd be Quinn, Tom. If it's just one award, which it is, it's Quinn. It's Quinn. And you guys, you guys know I love Quinn Snyder because he's a Seattle product like myself, and I think he's terrific. But here's what I'll say about Thibodeau. He goes to an organization that has been irrelevant, and you know they're going to go to their first playoffs in 9 years. I've been in New York 11 years. They've been in the postseason once. They're the laughing stock of the league. For him to come in, and they've been a top five defense all year, and they don't have an all defensive player. You know, the all defensive teams are just two of them. So they're not going to get, I mean, Noel and Randall, these guys have defended Bullock. They're not going to be all defensive players. So the fact that Thibodeau has got a really young team that hasn't won to buy in defensively, first and foremost, is really impressive. They've won games. They're going to be a bona fide playoff team. I think he'll get a lot of votes, but I would defer or lean on Quinn for the award. But I don't want to take anything away from Thibodeau because, like you said, they've been awful, absolutely awful. And that hire in New York was very mixed. The thought was, well, we're bringing in a guy who runs guys into the ground. We have a young team. Do we really want that? And he's been very successful. I'm excited to see what they do because they're going to have a lot of cap.
Jordan, I love talking with you because I think you can talk across the board, NFL, NBA, and all things mixed martial arts if you need to, boxing.
No, I wish. You can't go that far.
But I do want to get your thoughts. Does Aaron Rodgers play with the Green Bay Packers next year?
I think no. The thought with him has been, well, here's what I'll say. In Green Bay, for the first time, Packers fans are saying, well, we're frustrated with Aaron Rodgers. And I never thought that would happen. I think the draft day report from Adam Schefter really turned people's heads of this is how bad it's become. But the relationship from how it's been described to me, the relationship with him and Matt LaFleur, the head coach, is very good. The relationship with him and GM, Brian Gutekunst, is very bad. And I think where it really went negative and when it almost went to the point of no return is when they not only drafted Jordan Love, but they didn't tell him about it. That was really the beginning of the end. And I talked to Aaron Rodgers' camp the day after they lost to Tampa, and there was a lot of raw frustration after that game. I think when they go out and they draft Eric Stokes, who's a good corner, but they do not draft a receiver in the first round again, which has happened now 16 straight years with Aaron Rodgers there. That sends a message of we really don't care. We're really investing in the future. You're part of the short term, not the long term. Long-winded answer, but the answer for me is no, he will not be a Packer week one.
Come on over to Denver, right?
Hey, that would be great. That'd be great. I mean, talk about a team. Doesn't it feel like Denver's gotten the most buzz out of anybody?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you know, the thing is, it shows you how important quarterback play is because, and I don't know what they'd have to give up personnel-wise to get Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, a grundle of draft picks, but that roster right now, all it needs
pretty good.
Is a quarterback.
Pretty good. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's why Elway, I mean, he saw what happened with Peyton, and they had a really good defense, and they were able to win one. You're right. That roster's really, really good. Defensively, across the board, really sound. They have a ton of offensive weapons they've drafted. Cortland Sutton's coming back. Obviously, Judy, Hamler, they draft another receiver. I really like that team, but they don't have a quarterback. And, you know, I mean, maybe Drew Lock figures it out at some point. Maybe it's Bridgewater. I don't know. But if you bring in Aaron Rodgers, you can't tell me that's not one of the two or three shortest odds in the Super Bowl. So that would be unbelievable. I do think it would, to your point, it would take a colossal haul. I mean, we're talking multiple ones, an established starter, but I wouldn't put it past John Elway in Denver.
All right, as far as New York teams go, we were just talking about the Knicks. Can the New York Jets have as much success as the New York Knicks have had under new coaching, new management and coaching that the Knicks have brought in?
So I guess that would mean like maybe a playoff bid in the next 2 years. Is that kind of maybe, you know, in the next 5 years they're contending maybe?
Yeah, because is that how long Thibodeau and front office has been changed out in New York? Is it two seasons now?
No, this is one, but The big issue was they signed they made a lot of signings, but they had all these team options with the exception of Randall. So they're going to have the option this summer, the Knicks are to sign or not re-sign all these guys. So
okay.
I guess it's a fair question because the Jets bring in a new head coach who I really like. They bring in, they have a third year GM now in Joe Douglas, and they have drafted, I think, really well. And, you know, the hype around Zach Wilson reminds me to that point around with the hype around Zion Williamson maybe not an RJ Barrett in New York, but that's how much hype has been surrounded with this guy. And unlike Sam Darnold, who, whether or not you like him, is almost immaterial because they really never gave him the tools to succeed from an offensive line and weapons standpoint. They are really building this team, the Jets are. Back then, they drafted in the first round last year. He's been really good. They draft another guard in Barrett Tucker, who's going to start from USC. They have receivers. They really do have, and they brought in Elijah Moore from Ole Miss. They really do have the blueprint to succeed. And I guess if I had to say how long it's going to take for them to make a run at the playoffs, it probably would be two seasons. But it's the first time in a really long – first time since I've been in New York, so over a decade, that both the Jets and the Knicks seem like formidable playoff teams. And I can't tell you what that means to local radio here. Every day, everyone wants to talk about Thibodeau, Julius Randle, Zach Wilson. Those are the three topics.
Jordan Schultz with us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Jordan, always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks for joining us, and let's do it again soon.
Don't forget about me in the playoffs now. I know you got big-time guests, but I want to come on.
No, done and done. Count on it.
All right, thanks, fellas. Take care.
You got it. Jordan Schultz here on The Zone Sports Network. Good dude.
Man, that actually just kind of popped in my mind because I'm thinking, man, you can't rebuild trash. And the Jets have just become a trash organization. But you were just talking about the Knicks.
Yeah.
And if you'd have told me that the Knicks were going to find themselves in a sixth seed 2 years or, you know, one year after trying to fix shop from the inside out, I'd have told you you're crazy.
Yeah.
But here they are. Tom Thibodeau had a run for potentially coach of the year as a sixth seed team. And the Knicks, not a complete disgusting disaster.
Difference is they found a coach that has been known to turn around teams a little bit.
Yeah.
And the Jets, right. We don't know what we have.
We don't know what Robert Saleh's about. We don't know.
Did you? I was reading a story about him the other day where they were having their first OTAs, and they blew the whistle to end practice, and he comes up, and he's used to standing in a certain place behind the head coach, and he's waiting for things to get started. He's like, I'm the head coach.
I've told you the story of one time having a head coach walk to the huddle, brings us up after stretch. We break it. Ready, go. They break the big team huddle, and he says, "All right, what do you guys want to work on?"
Oh, no.
I told you that story.
AFL?
Yep.
Complete
alcoholic.
Yeah. Got replaced?
Yep. Was fired eight games in. We started the practice with, "Ready, break. All right, what do you guys want to focus on today?" Huh? What? Like, are we breaking into groups or?
Is that the guy that Ron James replaced?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
It was a pretty sad situation.
Did you work with Ron James?
A little bit, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just for 1 year.
I love that guy.
He is a phenomenal coach. One of the best I've ever been around.
I worry that, sometimes you think that AFL stigma gets stuck with guys, but I think he could translate into a college. Like, I would, if I'm putting a staff together,
he'd be on it. If I was building a staff right now, he'd 100% be on it. Not only would he be on it, he'd be my associate head.
Yeah,
because he could run a program. He's that good.
That dude makes the trains run on time.
He does, and he gains respect from players by action, not by enforcement. And I love that about him. And the other thing is he's brutally honest.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't hide anything.
Yeah.
But he doesn't do it in a horrible fashion. He just does it in the right way. But I'm hoping that Robert Saleh, I'm hoping that's where it kind of ends for him. Hopefully he'll realize, I'm the head man. I've got to do X, Y, and Z. Because that's a whole new order of business. It's not like he can just get ingrained with the defense and focus on it.
Yeah.
Because the building will fall down around him. He's got to be the structure that holds everything up.
Yeah.
Can he do it? I don't know. I know he's got a lot of respect from a lot of people in the league. And I know he's brought some good assistants with him that are bringing that San Francisco flavor.
We'll see.
I hope it. I just hope it goes well. I hope that they, the very minimum, I hope they protect Zach Wilson.
I do too.
And he's not the new Joe Burrow.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, hey, by the way, I saw this. Shoot. I think it was Pro Football Focus. Let me see if I can get this tweet up here. Okay, here we go. Rookie quarterback, according to the, I'm not sure what sports book. DraftKings sports book. They have set the over-under on passing yards for Zach Wilson in year one. Take a guess what you think it might be. Lloyd, jump in on this as well. By the way, they set it for Trevor Lawrence at 4,150 yards, 0.5.
4,000?
Yeah. 4,100.
For the over-under?
Over-under for Trevor Lawrence.
Wow.
How many of those will be to Tim Tebow?
0.0.
Okay, let me think in my mind here. So his targets, we were talking yesterday. Who were we talking with? We were talking about Denzel Mims. I like Mims. I like his game.
Now remember, I guess the other thing we got to throw in, we're now looking at 17 games this year.
Yep. I like Herndon. He's decent. Jameson Crowder will be another one of his targets. I'm trying to think how well they'll be able to protect him. So they brought in – they brought in a guard this year, right? They drafted a tackle, a good tackle last year. I know they've got George Fant out there.
What did you say Wilson's over-under was?
All right.
He's having us guess.
You're having us guess. Sorry about that.
He gave us Lawrence's over-under.
Just so you know, there's only 12 quarterbacks that passed over 4,000 last year.
But we're adding another game. So
I'm gonna say they've got him at 36.5,
38.5. So he would have, now that's a big number, but he'd need to average 223.5 yards a game to hit that number. That's a good
line.
He'd
have to stay healthy.
Yeah,
because this they're setting an over under yardage number, right?
Yeah,
not a per game.
Nope.
I'll take the under.
Me too.
Lloyd?
Yeah, I'm gonna go the under.
So many variables. So many variables.
Adding that extra game, I don't know. That's gonna be tough.
97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network live here at the at Built Bar. 9 great flavors. They also throw in the limited flavors or limited time flavors as well. And I mean, people are really passionate about these, and everybody. It's funny, you talk to somebody different; they all have a favorite or a different favorite bar.
I know, it's so funny to go head to head and like, no, this is the best bar. No, this is the best bar, and to see what people say. So, what is your favorite?
I go back and forth. I'd like ultimately, like, if you have to choose one,
yeah,
I probably go the coconut chunk.
I
can't remember
the coconut brownie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And I don't even know if that's not a limited time.
Yeah, it's
not
a limited. Yeah.
But that is the best bar that you guys have ever.
100 hands down.
If it's not available, probably go raspberry because I love the chunks of raspberry in that thing.
Yeah, it's so good. I love the chunk bars, cookie dough and coconut brownie are hands down my favorite. But then you're right. Of the 9, I love peanut butter. Raspberry. I feel like those are the two I grab first, and coconut.
I bought a box of the salted caramel about 2 months ago, and I took all of them and put them in the freezer.
Oh, yes.
And
they're really good frozen.
Yeah, that's,
the salted caramel out of the freezer is my favorite. It is pretty chewy. I mean, you know, you want to take your time biting it, but it's really just a great treat.
I just leave them in the fridge. The freezer, I don't want them solid ice. Uh-huh. But I always keep mine in the fridge.
It is a good hack if anyone needs like a sweet cold treat.
Yeah.
I love that. I looked on the website too. We mentioned last time building your own box, and you can build your own box. You choose 3 flavors, or you can do a mixed box with all of the 9 flavors. You get 2 of each of the 9. So you have both options there.
18 bars in that box, and you're going to get 2 of the coconut, 2 of the coconut almond, 2 cherry, 2 raspberry, 2 mint brownie, 2 peanut butter brownies, 2 double chocolates, and 2 salted caramels.
Yep.
Every one of those flavors
it's crazy. That's a protein bar flavor, right? We're talking about protein bars, and these flavors are incredible.
Yeah, and to the person out there, maybe there's a person out there that doesn't like coconut, or there's a person out there that doesn't like the peanut butter brownie. Well, find the three that you like, and like Brenna mentioned, you can just build a box of the three that you're really interested in.
Yeah, and there's something for everyone. And my mind tends to change. Like, in the morning, I like to have a raspberry bar. And I use my Built Boost drink mix in with all my daily vitamins in it. And it pairs really well with a Built bar. I have that. It's like my morning coffee, if you will. I start my day off with all my daily vitamins with my Built Boost drink mix in. It has the zinc, the echinacea, your vitamin C, all of your daily vitamins. And then I wash it down with a Built Bar.
There you go.
So delicious.
Well, I start taking the Boost in, kind of middle of winter, December, January.
Yeah.
Because, you heard about, okay, well, you need some B12 and the D and all that, these other vitamins to kind of get you through flu season.
Totally.
And then you want your immunity up because, hey, you know, we are in the middle of a pandemic.
Exactly.
And now I take it every morning just as a routine.
And
I'm with you.
It is so in my daily routine, and it tastes so good. And like you said, it does have all of those vitamins, vitamin A, vitamin B1, B2, B3, B6, C, D, E, biotin, folate, calcium. I mean, it is packed full of delicious flavor. It tastes good. It's sweetened with stevia. So it kind of tastes like Kool-Aid, in my opinion. But it does have all of that great, great vitamins that you need.
Big fan of it. Go to BuiltBar.com, promo code ZONE, get 10% off. It's all right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is DJ and PK. Ben Golliver joining us, national NBA writer for the Washington Post. The question in every market is, can they win it all? Can the Jazz do it?
Of course they can do it. They've been not only best record, but most dominant. It's been unbelievable to watch them move the ball, hit the three-point shot, play unselfishly, and play disciplined. Probably their hope is that they're going to be a team that is one of those five fingers makes a fist type teams where they're better than the sum of their parts. I don't think it's going to be anyone coasting through this Western Conference. It's going to be an absolute bloodbath, but the Jazz have to be in the mix. And if the Lakers aren't healthy, you could even potentially talk me into saying, the Jazz are the favorites to come out of the West. And right now, the clock is ticking big time on LeBron and Anthony Davis in terms of getting them healthy and up to speed. If the Jazz aren't the favorites to me in the West, they're right there.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Good, the bad, the ugly right here on the Zone Sports Network, brought to you by Zero Res. Get your carpets clean, $33 per room, real simple. All you have to do is call 801-288-9376. Get on the schedule and get those carpets clean. Spring, summer is here. Let's get all that winter dirt and gunk and snow and water all out of your carpets. Let's go get them cleaned up. All right, Hans, we'll start with the good, and it certainly is good for the Brooklyn Nets. James Harden has been listed as probable for Brooklyn's game tonight against the San Antonio Spurs after spending the last 5 weeks, as I mentioned, out with that hamstring injury. He is back up and ready to go, and that's a big boost for Brooklyn going into the playoffs.
It's a huge boost. Did I see a story about Kyrie Irving going out yesterday?
Yeah. Kyrie Irving took a shot to the face or something like that.
Yeah, there was some issue. And I think
that would be bad.
Can you just let something slip through, Lloyd?
He never
just said
does.
Hopefully Irving didn't take a shot to the face. Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Kyrie. He
takes a hard elbow. Yeah, leaves with facial bruise. So I'm sure he'll be back and be okay. But it's not a good thing that Brooklyn is starting to come together.
Not good for the rest of the league. Good for Brooklyn.
Good for Brooklyn.
Let's just go ahead and pencil them in the NBA Finals.
Don't see anybody in the East putting up that big a fight. If all three of those guys are on the court, that is going to be a real problem. League-wide, that's going to be a problem. That's a storyline we'll all pay very close attention to. If those three stay on the court throughout the postseason,
it can be a problem.
I don't see Giannis Antetokounmpo being able to put up a fight. I don't really see Embiid, even though Philly's got the best record in the East. A fully healthy Brooklyn team, it's too much to handle.
Yeah. All right, there's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
Well, I don't know how, if you know Anthony Rumble Johnson. Did you ever hear about him in
great
the UFC?
Nickname.
Yeah. Great UFC fighter. Yeah, and a great fighter. But UFC was kind of done with him. He ended up in the Bellator, and he was fighting on Bellator's 258 card on Friday. And I guess just like an hour, hour and a half after his fight, and he won by knockout, but he nearly got knocked out. I watched the fight again this morning, and it was just a brutal back and forth. And I think it was in the second round he ended up throwing a really nice punch, catching the guy right on the button. I think it was just a right hook. And came down, threw a couple hammer fists, and the dude was out. So he goes back in the locker room, and I guess he's just hanging out there at the facilities, Scotty. And law enforcement comes in, throws the cuffs on him there in Newark, in New Jersey. And they throw the cuffs on him and take him into custody. Apparently, there was some identity theft, some fraud. He was using credit card or a credit card that somebody did not authorize him to use to buy a flight. And he's in quite a bit of trouble. I know that he's been released on bail, but he's 37 years old. And, oh, it was at the Mohegan Sun Arena is where he was.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. That's where they came in and threw the cuffs on him. But it's identity theft. Can't take credit cards that aren't yours and use them to purchase flights. The only reason I know this is because I was watching Twitter this morning and I saw his mugshot come across and I was like, Anthony Johnson, what's he up to? Clicked on that mugshot.
Stealing credit cards. That's what he's up to.
Stealing credit cards, man. I've got to imagine he's doing okay. He's been fighting for a lot of years. And maybe he's not doing okay. Yeah. Maybe the UFC's just kind of stiffed him along the way. Those UFC fighters don't make as much as I think a lot of people might think.
Well, and you've talked about that at length about how these guys need to, if they could ever unionize, they could put themselves in a better position. But it's just so hard to do that.
Booked on several charges, including identity theft. We'll see if this plays out okay. He's still got some in the tank because he's still a heavy-handed fighter. Brings a lot of entertainment. High-action fighter.
11:45, there's your bad. Let's get to the ugly.
And, of course, the ugly.
So when you pay somebody to come up and be a Matt Foley motivational speaker and you give them a lot of money, you kind of hope that they show up. Well, retired NFL quarterback Brett Favre is yet to pay back $600,000 he received from the state of Mississippi for multiple speaking events that he never showed up for. Favre promised to repay the state after an audit released in May 2020 revealed $1.1 million has been paid to his company. Said after the initial media dust-up, he stroked a check for $500,000 and gave a commitment, a voluntary commitment, to repay the rest in the coming months. It just didn't happen. Several people, including the former head of state's welfare agency, top officials at the Mississippi Community Education Center, ex-wrestler Brett DeBias.
DeBiase.
DeBiase, okay. Were indicted in state court and are waiting trial in the aftermath of that audit. Two of the people indicted on state charges have also been indicted on federal charges, pled not guilty to those. So Brett better come up with that money pretty quick.
Wait, he was in it on this with the million-dollar man?
Isn't that Ted DiBiase? Is this? I think this might be the million-dollar man's brother.
This is Brett DiBiase.
Yeah. I think it wasn't the million-dollar man. It was Ted DiBiase, right?
I think you're right.
So, well, apparently Brett wanted to be the million-dollar man, but started stealing from Mississippi and
didn't
get away with it.
Well, there's a lot of bad things about this, but those funds were meant to go to the less fortunate. Or, you know, there was $96 million that was set aside by the state to go to the homeless and to go to people that don't have anything. And when they ran the audit, they found that there was some misspending on this. Like, they're like, $1.1 million to Brett Favre. What the hell is Brett Favre doing on here?
Yeah.
Like, this is meant for the unfortunate.
And by the way, who's paying Brett Favre $1 million to come to to speak? Who wants to hear from Brett Favre?
So he can give bad opinions?
All he's going to do is, you know, hawk Lee jeans and whatever copper bracelet or whatever infomercial he's on late at night.
What copper bracelet is he? Is he hawking copper bracelets?
Yeah, copper.
The one that balances you out?
And bracelets and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, are you talking about the one that's like, it's got like magnets in it that's supposed to center your being?
I don't know. Now I got to Google it.
Or are you talking about the copper bracelets that help
copper
with
fit.
Arthritis?
It's a sleeve, braces, shirts, maybe no bracelets.
So it's copper fit clothing?
Yeah.
I don't know who would pay Brett Favre 1.1 to come talk. Okay. If Brett Favre was speaking tonight at a banquet and you could go for free, would you go?
What are they serving for dinner?
That the typical hotel spread.
No.
Couple slices of turkey.
Nope. Not interested.
A bit of not interested?
No. Nope.
What about if, hold on, I'll throw in a
if you say
salad.
It comes with a selfie, I don't want it.
No, I'll throw in
Brett will send you a selfie.
Do some research on that one.
Well, I don't know. Don't Google that.
Don't Google it.
Okay, I'm going to give you a pre-dinner salad with your choice of ranch or blue cheese. I'm going to give you...
Is it like a wedge salad or just a...
A wedge.
Okay.
With bacon on it.
And blue cheese. All right, now we're talking.
Okay, and I'm going to throw in a piece of cheesecake with raspberry topping for dessert.
But still the bland hotel dinner?
But still the bland hotel dinner.
Nah, not going to do it.
Dinner rolls and soft butter.
Okay.
Ooh, soft butter.
And the overly watered lemonade. You got water or the watered down lemonade.
Because that water's usually got the dopey cucumbers and crap in it. I don't want any of that.
I can tell we've been to way too many of those events.
I know.
It's the same thing every time.
Yep.
I don't want that, man. That's yucky food.
It's got to be prime rib or nothing. Maybe a filet.
So the dinner is making. Okay, so let's say it's
Let's just say I want a good free dinner. That's what I want, more than hearing Brett Favre talk.
What if it was right next to your house and all you had to do was walk across the street?
Okay, now we're talking.
Would you walk across
the
street
and the dinner that you talked about?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do that.
It'd be empty. There'd be a lot of extra dinners to grab.
I know, right? Yeah.
I don't know. I don't mean to attack Brett Favre. I just don't find him to be that interesting.
There's nothing that Brett Favre can talk about that interests me.
What if he's only talking about Aaron Rodgers' potential return to Green Bay and the whole fiasco?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Might.
But we've already heard him talk about that.
Yeah.
He said Aaron Rodgers isn't messing around.
There was that that story where he was talking about how he had to have Ty Detmer explain to him what a cover two was. After he'd been in the league for like 3 or 4 years.
That was awkward.
That was really awkward.
Yeah, that was awkward. He may be the first quarterback in NFL history that could not explain. Was it? It wasn't. It was something more difficult than a cover two.
I thought it was a cover two.
Please tell me it wasn't just a cover two. We should get Ty on to ask him. It had to be something more intricate and detailed than a cover two.
Let's see. Oh, it was. It's even worse. Ty Detmer confirming a story that Brett Favre had no idea what a nickel defense was.
Oh. So tell me that this.
Finally, I said, I got to know. Ty, I got to ask you a question. He says, what's that? What's a nickel defense? Ty Detmer got real quiet. He said, are you serious? He said, yeah, I'm serious. Well, they basically take out a linebacker and bring it into DB. I said, that's it? He said, that's it. I said, who gives a bleep?
maybe the slot that's getting covered by a guy that can move well.
That
might want to be mindful of that.
Yeah, he's going to sling it regardless.
If you're looking at that slot and he's covered by a guy that's wearing 57 instead of a guy that's wearing 21, you may want to keep an eye on that.
That's the nickel. This must have been when the nickel was just, I don't know.
I think the nickel's been around for a bit.
It's got to go back before the 80s.
All right. Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Take a quick break, come back, and we will continue on. A little whole world news straight ahead.
The Big Show. The Big Show. With Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
Hey, Garrett Bowles is going to be on the show. Pro bowler, Garrett Bowles.
What you doing?
How about...
Didn't he get to look over by the Broncos?
No, he just signed a huge deal with the Broncos. Yes.
Wait a minute.
I sent you an email.
No, I saw that, but
in fact, I'll read it. Former University of Utah and Snow College standout and current starting Denver Bronco All-Pro offensive tackle, Garrett Bowles.
I skipped over that part.
Garrett is being honored at the National Football Foundation celebration.
And he's going to jump on with us.
I honestly have never hoped somebody wasn't listening more in my entire career.
Catch the Big Show. Weekdays from 2 to 7. Presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You've got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Appreciate you making us part of your Wednesday. Time for another edition of Whole World News, spanning the globe that hopefully can interest you.
Well, there's, you know, you had the Tide Pod challenge that was going on.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned this yesterday. We got to get
social media. You've got all these different, what are some of the other stupid, the challenge where you kick your friend's feet out from under him. He stands between you and... The right guy jumps, and then the left guy jumps, and you ask the middle guy, see how high you can jump, and then both the guys kick his feet as he's jumping. That was one of the dumbest. Well, yeah. That eating the Tide Pods was probably dumber than that. But dudes were coming up with concussions and breaking their heads open, and people thought it was funny. I hate that stuff. This one might be the worst. So it's a new challenge called High Meat. High Meat.
Oh, High Meat.
High Meat. H-I-G-H. Meat. High. Like getting high.
Okay.
So they let the meat sit on the table for 6 months to a year. They let it sit out, and then they eat it, and it's got bacteria that make you hallucinate. And so kids are getting high off high meat now. They're putting it, like, under their beds and letting it ferment and rot, and then they're eating it.
They're letting it sit for how long?
6 months to a year.
How did anybody even come up with this?
Like, and by the way, that's going to stink. Like... You let a piece of meat sit around for 6 months to a year. Those first couple months are not going to be pleasant.
It says that the meat becomes cheesy and more acidic than an average steak. Bacteria present in rotten meat is behind the high or hallucination or feeling of euphoria after you eat the meat. Health officials said there's all sorts of bacteria, salmonella, shigella, E. coli, all these things that our human body might really struggle to break down in the body. So you are ingesting this hallucination or feeling of euphoria, but you're also putting horrible bacteria in your body.
Hey, man, I got some 2019 filet. You want it?
It's been under my bed since last March.
This is stupid.
Really is stupid.
Help me if Jackie Blue Eyes does something like this, I will lose my mind. He'll be out of my house.
Oh, no, come on. He took a Sharpie to your new couch and all your walls, and you let him stay.
Yeah, but this is beyond that.
Oh, okay. This health official, Scotty, is saying that they're seeing youth with uncontrollable bowel movements, large intestinal damage, vomiting, terrible dehydration. Some are sustaining botulism. I guess botulism's a bad one. That sounds like something you don't want.
So even if you and I've always meant to do this, but I always get nervous because you go to Costco and you have that big old chunk of ribeye that you can slice into steaks.
Yeah.
And I've always thought it'd be fun to buy one of those and then dry age it.
Yeah, that sounds good.
And what you do, I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can do it, but essentially you can just throw that thing into the fridge and let it sit for like 30 days. But even then, you've got to carve off the outside of it because it's got some nasty stuff, and then cook it up right and do the right. And I hear that's a great way to go, but never in a million years would I ever think of some kid like, hey, you see that meat? That meat's been lying around for a long time. You want to eat it?
That's choice.
Let's go.
And it just seems like, you know, if we're taking 6, 7, 8 months to age meat to get high, and you're that desperate for a high, that's a long ways. That's a long time to wait.
Yeah.
For a high, right? And I don't know if eating rotten meat is the way, if I was ever interested in experiencing a high, I don't know if I'd want to have rotted meat in between my teeth during that.
It's not great.
It's not great.
Not great, Bob.
So I'm just telling parents out there, if you find a piece of steak under your son or your daughter's bed and they don't have a good explanation for it, be aware that they may be attempting to get high off rotted meat.
Kids these days, man.
Kids these days, man.
Yeah. All right. Hands and Scotty. Chat. Let's get Brenda's thoughts on this.
Why eat rotted meat for your protein when you can get
a Built Bar?
A Built Bar. That tastes delicious.
Kids have too much time on their hands. They're trying to rot some meat.
It's amazing.
Go do something. Go do something else.
It's amazing what kids can come up with.
Learn a skill. Just, I don't know.
And it feels like every day that I'm on the internet and I'm looking for something for whole world, I'm like, what is going on with kids nowadays? But you can get all the protein you need, and you could do it in these amazing Built Bars. Delicious, chewy, creamy. Every single bite. You just handed us one of these peanut butter brownie Built
Bars.
Fantastic. And it's got chunks of peanuts in it. It's dipped in that milk chocolate.
19 grams.
It's protein. Phenomenal. Low sugars.
Mm-hmm. Low net carbs.
I don't want people to hear say it's dipped in milk chocolate and think, oh, well, that's
I can't eat that.
Yeah, that's way out of my category.
Yeah, no.
It's not.
Nope.
It's low net carbs, low calorie. It's great. I mean, why not? I love their billboards. It's like, high five your mouth.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Yep.
So,
it's so funny.
So many great flavors to choose from. I think you and all of us suggest just go to the website, builtbar.com, and get the sample box. You get, what, two of every flavor?
Yeah, if you're new to Built Bar, definitely try the mixed box. You get two of every flavor. All nine flavors you'll get two of. So if you already have a favorite or already have a top three, you can also build your own box. You can pick your own three flavors. So yeah, if you're kind of a returning customer, you have that build your own option. If you're new to Built Bar, do a mixed box, find your favorite. I was telling you guys too, I really love the Built Bites as well. If you want to just try like the fun sized of the Built Bar and you don't want a full size bar, the Built Bites are great to just throw in your travel bag, throw in your kids' lunch box, practice bags, your golf bag. If you're traveling, you want to take some on the airplane, they travel really well. They are real chocolate, so they do melt. I did make that mistake. I put one in my pocket, but I love them. I throw them to my kids in the back seat if they're having a tantrum. They think it's chocolate, so I'm like, here's some candy, but it's a peanut butter Built Bar bite, so it's great. There's a lot of options on the website, and you guys have a great deal for your listeners, too.
10% off. Go to BuiltBar.com, promo code ZONE, 10% off that first order. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network.